Fawn Hustle, F-A-W-N, Fawn Hustle. This is what we are talking about in today's episode of Burnoutology. Welcome back. Thank you very much again for joining me. My name is Kelly Swinger. I'm the Burnoutologist. My first burnout made me really seriously ill. My second nearly killed me. It was the death of my replacement that completely changed the trajectory of my career. And that's why I'm now a global burnout educator. Over the past 12 years, I've coached over 700 leaders through burnout, and I have trained coaches from 14 countries in the Burnout Academy in how to be burnout aware. This podcast is uncut, unedited, unscripted, all the babbling, all the background noise, all the brain dumping. You might be able to hear some of the cogs clicking, turning, whirring as we discuss all of these topics. And a last minute, I suppose, wasn't it? Last minute change to this podcast was this creation of 200 Burnout Truths. And today we're going to explore truth number 7, Fawn Hustle. So what does this really mean? It means that it is people-pleasing as a survival strategy, but it's dressed up as professionalism. People-pleasing as a survival strategy, dressed up as professionalism. And we spot this by seeing people over-apologise, over-deliver, with their happy to help whilst they're running on fumes. And it matters because this is trauma. It's not teamwork. This is trauma. This is overcompensating. It's full on kind of survival mode, and it's a lot of fear. And it can do a lot of damage, right? Fawn hustle, this people pleasing. Now, again, I've been here. I've lived it. I have seen many of my clients live and experience the same thing. And I think kind of what we see more often, so there's a few things, and I've mentioned this previously, but the closer we get to burnout, the less we realise what's happening to us. There is this feeling that something isn't right. There is a feeling that something needs to change. There is a feeling that you're starting to drop some balls, right? Some of the plates that you've been spinning constantly are now starting to crash. You don't feel that you've got hold of everything. And yet at the same time, there's only really you that feels that, because you are over-delivering so much. Nobody else is realising that you are dropping any balls, or some of these spinning plates are starting to collapse, because actually you have it all together. And this fawn hustle, this people-pleasing, this survival strategy, this happy to help kind of mentality, the fact that you're over-apologising, over-delivering, just means that actually more people see you as the go-to person to get some of this stuff done. And they just keep giving you more and more and more. And whilst they're giving you more, you keep saying yes, because you're in people-pleasing mode even more. And you're also, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, didn't we? But this kind of swan mode, right? You look perfect. You look serene. You look like you've got it all under control. And yet it's likely that inside you, there is this like bubbling anxiety. It might be heart palpitations. It might be this butterfly feeling in your stomach. It might be struggling to catch your breath. It might be last minute panic. It might be uncontrollable crying in the toilets or on the way home or in the bathroom or under your desk or, I don't know, whilst you're buying your lunch in a supermarket and you realise that they haven't got the sandwich that you wanted, and you cannot handle the thought of one more decision that needs to be made today. Because inside, you're barely holding it together. And yet the outside world wouldn't know anything because you paint on the smile. I ask you to do something. Yeah, Kelly, no problem. With a smile on your face. Your partner asks you to do something. Yeah, no problem. Kids, family, friends, managers, leaders, team members. Everybody wants a bit more of you. And you just keep on going and you keep delivering. But there's people pleasing. Part of it is because there is this part inside of you that thinks, actually, if you say no, that's the point at which you would lose your shit, right? That's the point that all of the plates are going to come crashing to the floor. That's the point where people might realise that you've been faking it this whole time. So you just keep going. You keep painting on the smile. You keep going with the people pleasing. But the people pleasing is driven by fear. We may have touched on this a few episodes back as well. I know I spoke about people pleasing. A lot of the time, and this doesn't have to be anything to do with burnout at all. This doesn't have to be related to fawn hustle at all. Many people pleasers assume that the reason they're people pleasers is that they don't like conflict, or that they don't like saying no to people, or that they love seeing other people happy. And yet, a lot of the time, people pleasing is driven by fear. And a lot of us, again, I say this as a recovering people pleaser, I used to think that people pleasing was about pleasing other people. And yet, the more of a lens I put on it, the more I realised it was nothing to do with that. People pleasing is about us wanting the validation. And a lot of it is driven by fear of not being good enough. Fear of not having the validation. Fear of not getting the pat on the back or being told that we're good enough. Because actually, if we were to set a boundary and say no, what if people assume then that we're rude or unhelpful, or they stop asking us to do stuff, or they completely turn against us because we've said no? That's what's driving a lot of it. And yet those of us that are people pleasers, right, live with the assumption, well, it's just because I love helping other people. I don't like conflict. I don't really like saying no to people. And it's not about the other people. In all of the years now that I have been doing all of this work, people pleasing is about us wanting validation. It's about us wanting to feel good enough. It's about us wanting the congratulations. But then, of course, what usually happens is when we are people pleasers, we don't tend to get a lot of validation, do we? We don't tend to get people, oh my God, Kelly, you're so amazing. Thank you so much. We'll get it sometimes. Oh, like you're a lifesaver. Oh, like you really saved my skin with that. Right, we'll get it sometimes. But we start to become really resentful when people stop giving us the validation. But of course, the more we do for others, the less we start to get the big pat on the back, the big congratulations, the big Kelly, you're so amazing. I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. Because it becomes the norm. It becomes the expectation. If I give this to Kelly, she'll do it. Kelly, can you just do this? we stop being asked in the same way as well, right? What maybe would have started with a bit of a grovel, oh my God, Kelly, I know you're so busy and I know you've got this and you've got there, but I really, really need this. Right, it starts with a bit of a groveling, can you do this for me, please? Right? Oh, you'll save my life if you do this for me. And you think, oh, okay, I'll do it for you. And yet the more we continue to say yes, the less we receive some of that kind of groveling, lifesaver demand in the first place. And maybe what used to be Kelly, could you just do this? You'll absolutely save my life. I really appreciate it. You're the best in the whole wide world. Like, I love you forever. It then becomes an email of, could you pick this up for me? Or another email, could you just do this? Or another text that's, can you just do this on your way home? And then we start to become resentful. Now, the other person, the other people, they don't notice the resentment. They don't notice perhaps that our willingness to do this, the boundaries that we had around this, they don't realise that anything's changing, because the resentment starts to grow inside us. We still put on the smile. We still say yes. We still keep on going. And if we are natural people pleasers, now nobody is immune from burnout. Every single person can experience burnout. None of us are immune to it. And yet, people pleasers, overachievers, overperformers, we are more likely to experience burnout than anybody else. Those of us with strong morals, strong boundaries, strong ethics, type A personalities, we are the ones that are more likely to experience burnout. And the closer we get to burnout, the more we people please. The more it becomes a survival strategy. Because what starts to go on within our heads, within our bodies, within our brains, within our thought processes, is that if we say no, people might think that we're struggling. If I say no to that task, people will think I can't cope. If I say no to that project, people will think that I'm struggling. If I say no to helping that family member, they might start asking me loads of questions. If I say no to my friend, they might think I'm a bad friend. But they might also might ask, like, is there anything wrong with me? So the internal dialogue as to why we need to keep on people pleasing the closer we get to burnout, again, is a fear response. It's the fear of, what if I get caught out? What if other people then think I'm saying no because I can't cope? Or what if they think I'm saying no because I'm struggling? What if they think I'm saying no because I'm overwhelmed? What if they think I'm saying no because I'm on the brink of burnout? I'm almost at collapse. What if they think I'm failing? What if they think I'm not good enough? What if they then start to take stuff away from me? What if I get demoted? What if I lose my job? What if people don't like me anymore? So the people pleasing almost becomes more the closer that we get to burnout. And again, we can't always put our finger on it. The closer we get to burnout, the less likely we are to know that we are on the brink of burnout. Internally, we know something isn't right. Internally, we know something needs to change. And internally, we know we cannot carry on as we are for much longer. And yet, we can't stop. Because we are waiting for the external environment to change. We're waiting for the projects to stop coming. Or we're waiting for other people to change, which will then mean that the way in which we're working or thinking or feeling or behaving, it then we then are thinking all that is just going to calm down. It's just going to go away. We maybe have been telling ourselves for months, maybe even years, I'll stop after this project. I'll stop after this house move. I'll stop when the kids have, you know, started primary school. I'll stop when the kids leave school. I'll stop when the kids leave home. I'll stop after the wedding. I'll stop after the kitchen has been installed. I'll stop after I've bought the new car. I'll stop after my holiday. I'll stop after Christmas. I'll stop in the new year. And yet the external environment isn't changing. The external environment isn't slowing down. And the more we keep on going, and the more seemingly everybody else around us is coping, we think then that we are the only failure. We think that we're the only person that can't say no. Surely we've just got to keep on people pleasing. Because if we just keep saying yes, if we just keep over delivering, everything will be okay. And then we end up at burnout. And then part of what's going on inside us is we don't understand how we got there in the first place. And again, the internal dialogue and sometimes what other people around us are saying is, it was that we just weren't resilient enough. We weren't trying hard enough. It's our fault that we didn't ask for help soon enough. It's our fault that we didn't take a break earlier. It's our fault that we weren't prioritising our time more effectively. Or we get people around us that are really understanding. And like, well, you know, I was trying to tell you, to take a break. Like, I'm sorry you've got to this point. What do you now need? How can I help you? And yet you find yourself stuck and feeling a bit resentful. And maybe feeling like this is all your fault. Because what if you had made the change sooner? And we're all responsible for burnout prevention. The people around us that keep asking, the people around us that keep putting on the pressure, the people around us that we keep over-apologising and over-delivering and people-pleasing for, they will have seen some of the signs. But ultimately, they just wanted their needs met. And we kept meeting their needs. But we kept meeting their needs whilst we were sacrificing our own. Burnout doesn't mean we're broken. And it doesn't mean that we're not resilient. We have proven the levels of resilience that we have. Because we kept on going and we kept on going and we kept on going. And every single time we fell off the bike, we got straight back on it. And we kept on going and we kept showing to the world how amazing and incredible we were. And that's why they kept giving us stuff to do. That's why they were happy for us to keep over delivering and working all of the additional hours and taking on more responsibility. That's why they weren't offering to help us, because they could see everything that was happening. And whilst at face value, it looked like we were coping brilliantly, some of the signs of collapse will have been there. Maybe someone pointed them out to you. Maybe you just thought, yeah, not me, not stressed. Don't know what you're talking about. Just got to keep on going. Again, that is this fear response. For some of us, it is a trauma response. So fawn hustle, what it really means is people pleasing as a survival strategy dressed up as professionalism. How to spot it in ourselves and or in others. It's over apologising. It's over delivering. It's constantly telling everybody that we're happy to help whilst we're running on fumes. And it matters because this is trauma, not teamwork. That is Fawn Hustle, number 7 of our 200 burnout truths. Next week, we are moving on to number 8. Burnout truth number 8. And this is gaslight coaching. This is when empowerment coaching invalidates your lived reality. That's what we're talking about in our eighth truth next week on Burnoutology, the podcast. If you haven't done already, please do head to kellyswingler.com. Get your copy of the podcast companion. You can get that at kellyswingler.com/podcast. You get your podcast companion where you can scribble down all of your podcast notes. If you have got that already, also go and get your Burnout Aware Starter Kit, kellyswingler.com. Get your Burnout Aware Starter Kit to start, right? Start your coaching journey and how you can be more effective, be more aware as a coach in how to spot burnout, how to start, I suppose, modifying, right? Changing, adapting your coaching for when burnout is in the room. So go get those two things. I will be back with you again next week for number seven. No, I'll be back with you next week for number eight. This has been number seven. I'll be back with you for gaslight coaching next week. And we will be talking about when empowerment coaching invalidates your lived reality. Thank you very much for joining me. I will be back with you again next week. Take care for now. Bye-bye.